in this ummah by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. There's always three levels. One is the level that initiates, starts on the work. من الفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. So this refers to the muhajirin, the refugees that take refuge in Medina Munawwara. So this is the first group. They had initiated all the good work. They were like the foundation of Islam, the root of this entire deen. Then they had gone through all type of persecution, harassment, torture, to the extent of they suffered deaths only for their holding on to the truth. No other guna, only guna was that they held on to the truth. So you will always find one group that initiates. And this group here, then they are the most praiseworthy. They started the whole thing off. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. So those that strive, they spend right at the very beginning. So you can imagine now what was the level of the striving. There was nothing, no visible future. See, when you talk of business, right, you invest in something and there's nothing visible. So that's a big risk, isn't it? Right? Nothing, you can't see the growth. They just started it off, they taking a chance, it may work, it may not work. So that is the first person who started off that investment. So that person, his sacrifice is the biggest. Then وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Right? They settled in the Iman, they settled in the land of refugees. In the refuge, they settled. Iman is settled, established, rooted, and they've taken their residence in Medina Munawwara. Now, obviously that first class is the greatest, then comes the second class. They are also very great. They offered the refuge, they helped them, they gave them their home. Everything that they could offer, they offered. But now the second class, they had already seen some growth. See, like, because we're likening it to an investment, and we don't know whether that thing is going to work out or not going to work out. But you've got the next group that's investing after they saw some results. Are they both identical? So this is what Allah says, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلِ. So those that strive right at the beginning and those that came after can't be identical. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْزَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا. Their maqam and their position is the highest. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْزَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا. They also strived, they also spent, they also gave lives. But they came after, these people came first. So by Allah Ta'ala everything is recognized. Everything is seen, everything is recognized, everything is appreciated. They also made a lot of contributions. Imagine now, you got 5 shops and you give your Ansari brother 2.5 shops. You got 200 hectares, right? And you give 100 hectare. This is a small thing. Right? So I'll give some food, everything, you can risk as long as you want. That's the most our people do. Right? But to gain the very reins of the business, can you do that? Right? You want 40 shops to gain 20 shops. Can you do that? So that's what Ansar. He gave his house, he gave his business, and there were some that went even one step more than this. If they had two wives, one you choose, you go and see which one. Our divorced one should serve Iddat, and then she goes to you. Right? So the sacrifice is nothing small, it's very great, huge. Tremendous sacrifice. So in Dini work all around the world, you'll find these two levels. We'll talk about this third group, right? Like you get in this country, right? What we see in 1962 was different, very totally different. Like you won't find a person with a topi, hardly a person with the beard. Kurta was like extinct. Not here, really. When you see an odd Mulana, you know, it'll be like a surprise. Hey, see here, with kurta wala aya. That was 1961-62. You don't see it at all. Absolutely nothing. Right. So now, these people worked, alright, they worked, and they brought about a whole transformation. I can still remember the days, the 60s, early 60s, right? Person is going out of the masjid, they look for a glass window, and then trying to put his comb, but they had, it was a style to have an iron comb. Take out that comb, go to the window and put his hair right, top his back again, and that was a style at the time. And that was counted as a pious person. That was counted as the pious person. Five time namazi. So he was counted as a very pious person. So the visible Islam came after this. We will not say that they didn't have Islam, but that Islam that was visible, right? I know people that and then they became big Jamaat. In the forefront and all that. But you look at them in the heydays, they were different people, hairstyle. Sometimes they're going to the shop, you know, safari suit, shorts. I think you already see that. Safari suits, they're wearing shorts. And suddenly that person is wearing abava, kurta, a different person altogether. So we saw that and we've seen this. Women, you could hardly see women with the long sleeves. You know, you will never see a woman with a burqa. No, you can't see. Most will see a scarf, that's all. But half sleeves to here sometimes, sometimes to here. That's the most you would see. The people that were schooling at Buddhas in the early 60s, all wearing shorts. Some of them now, their children are ulama. But you can't even talk about that, because children feel embarrassed, obviously, right? They were wearing shorts, nobody had scarves, short sleeves, and everything was carrying on in school, right? But alright, we'll have to admit that there were some things in that zaman now that doesn't exist now. The level of shame and honesty was different then. Alright, they didn't have the clothing, they didn't have the apparel, but you have to admit that the level of shame, right, and the level of honesty was great, too great. Like, if there's a dispute, you know, the honesty was such, it was like a known thing. If two non-Muslims got a problem, got a dispute, settling their business, they go to that Muslim chacha, he will settle for you. Whatever he says, take it from there. To the extent, it was like this, in this Indian, right, that an Indian is the throes of death. Hindu is the throat of death. His soul is not coming out. So they call a Muslim who seems to be pious. Right. So now the Muslim is seeing this person is the throes of death and he's not coming up, not dying. such that he gets some gold. But gold is put into his mouth and he switches off. So that attachment is so great. Like you hear of Muslims, and the attachment to the adhan is so great, the in the agony of death, but the moment they hear the adhan, they go. So he's attached to this, and he is attached to this. تَمُوتُونَ كَمَا تَحْيُونَ تَمُوتُونَ كَمَا تَحْيُونَ. The way you will live, you will die with it. His attachment was gold. He saw the gold, so he died in that. And his attachment was with Allah Ta'ala. So when you hear the name of Allah Ta'ala, then he died. So you see the attachment. How important that the attachment be right. So this was that first level, first 1960. Right? Then this Tabligh Jamaat thing came in, right? So just showing how it was then. We were living in this area here, right? In Spingo Beach, there was nobody to do the Jummah Namaz. We used to come from the Union. One uncle of mine used to come with him and hear the Khutbah Kitab, you know, with the parallel English translation. I don't know if you've seen the Kitab. English translation, and the Jummah Namaz wasn't the masjid. You know that old flat there, Umar Harun was saying. So under that was like a Jamaat Khana. That's where they were doing the Jummah Namaz. You understand how it was? If you talk about Fajr Namaz, we were living in Reunion. We used to come from Reunion, come here, to the Jummah Namaz, and you're going. In Reunion, you talk about the masjid there. Then that time, Fajr Namaz, maybe you just get the Imam and the Muazzin, nobody else. Coming in Zuhar time. Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, everything is coming. But Fajr, nobody. So now this Jamaat people, they started. Right. When they started now, then, right, we had the fortune to be with them. Right. But for us, it's like just a drive now. Jump in the car, right? Small children now. So just for the entertainment, you know, just with excitement, we jump in the car, we focus here and all that. So a lot of the masjid you see in Chatsworth and all that, we remember going there when we were small, going in pajamas and all that. It's around Maghrib Isha time, they saying, all right, come here for Gashta, all right. We more excited about the ride. You know, ride, we go there, come back. So come on a Saturday, on a Sunday now, so there's a little bit more free time available. I'm not sure what was going on at that time. So we had an old van. That van was really about 1940s van, right? Old, very old. So we're going and we'll hoot around the Muslim homes. And there was one song we used to sing. Utho utne walo ye raat sari khatam ho rahi hai. Muazzin bula raha hai. So there was some song that we should sing. Right? Called whoever, fine. So they jump into the van, come for namaz. So that's how it started. Then on a Sunday morning, then I can remember those days very clearly. Sunday morning, then there was a treat. All the Muslims that came, it was a treat now. They prepare coffee and cakes. We are waiting for that. I can remember. So the point you take from here is, see, sometimes you do something at the beginning just to start it off. That mustn't become a sunnah. See, like they do this 3 days and all that, whatever, right? Or they do this urus, right? So it must have started up on a good note. Now how it started off? It started off like this. Imagine, we talk about the third group, right? I'm just showing you the first group, second group, and the third group. But you appreciate what's going on. Now I've got everything on the plate, everything is working out very well. But I must say, the level of honesty and shame then was far greater. Maybe they didn't have that clothing. Maybe they didn't have that elaborate businesses, right? But you must admit that the shame was there and the honesty was there. Shame was there and honesty was there. Like I say, non-Muslims will come to to Muslims. My father, Marhum Maghfoor, he didn't have enough money to go for Hajj. So, now, in the meanwhile, he's doing business with blacks. They're buying the stuff here and they're selling in the townships. They're much wealthier than us. So he took a loan from him. In the meanwhile, those blacks, they do business, but they can't count. So they come with all the change, so they count it, all right, this is what is due to us, this is what is due to you. Hey, gaga money, so much, we could still left. We bought so much and we still got so much. Now they can't count, they don't know what is 2 plus 2, and they don't know what is 1 rand, they don't know what is 2, they don't know. So now, that built up a great amount of trust. Though we're just doing business, but it built up a lot of trust. You won't get robbed here, you won't get cheated, you won't get let down. So he took a loan for the black. Went for Hajj, and paid him after that. Right? I'm showing what was the level of honesty at that time. But this was not just with him, with all Muslims, a very high level of trust. You won't find any type of shameful behavior in women. You'll never see that. You know, this was like something, whatever, the clothing wasn't right. But if you talk about indecent behavior, it was unheard of. You may have one isolated case here or there, whatever it was, but an indecent culture, there wasn't a thing like an indecent culture. Right? So this was the beginning. Then these people came and they worked, right? Right? They worked, and then there were those that supported them. See, they worked, they started off. Then as any deeni work, see, once you start deeni work, and there's a commitment, then Allah Pak will bring about the results. All you need to do is put your mind to it, dedicate yourself, trust in Allah Ta'ala. Don't look at people. Don't look at the wealthy, don't look at the poor. With a pure commitment, just start the work. You'll see that work will just carry on. It'll just follow. It'll take a time, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It'll take some time. But the thing will just flow off of it. How it happens, Allah knows. The thing will just carry on. But our duty is, are we committed to the work? And do we trust Allah Ta'ala? Are we sincere? So total sincerity and trust, and you start it off. Then you get about 1969-70, right? The first Jamaat went to America, went to Canada, right? I'm just showing what was the condition at the time. See, we're not appreciating what we got now. Had we seen that, we will appreciate this thing here. The Jummah Namaz in Canada was read on a Sunday. I was speaking about this, there was one Canadian here. He said, no, I was there when they were doing Jummah Namaz on a Sunday. So, there's a proof already that they were doing the Jummah Namaz on a Sunday. And they were saying, no, this is, we're living in the Americas now, you know. And, we have to live with the times. We have to live with the times, you know. The Mastura Jamaat went from here. They saw one South African auntie there. She's wearing shorts and no scarf and all that. And she said, but you know, you can't exist here. You have to dress up like this for you to. We existed. We came here. We're living quite well. See what the respect we are giving. We are getting. Right? So you see, this Jamaat effort, it created a visible Islam. What? A visible Islam. What is Islam? Visible. You can see namaz, you can see a Muslim, you can identify him from a non-Muslim. At least you can identify. That Islam became visible. Before, there was the Islam, but it wasn't so visible. And they worked and they made it visible. So this Jamaat went to Canada and they're reading Jummah namaz on a Sunday. So, Ajay Bhai Padia Sahib Rahmatullahi, we had a lot of uphill. They were not prepared. Hey, this is not South Africa, man. This is not India. This is Canada. It's a different world, you know. by Padre Stabiot was, if he wants to do something, nothing will stop him. He wants to do something. That was his temperament. I must do it, I must do it. So when he came, he spent his 4 months, right? And he saw some of his daughters now, their dresses are like this. Yeah? He went and burned that thing. So he was very strong-headed. I must do something, I must do it. Kalas. He destroyed the thing. The woman was making noise. Hey, you know, who to you? What's happening to this man now? Because this was now totally foreign. It was a different type of a thing. Right? But you know, I must do this thing, I must do it. Suddenly he's wearing a long kurta in 62, 63. He's wearing a shawl. Hey, this is not India. I can remember even his father, Hafiz Ismail Sahib, Ahmed Dali. Hey, lamba lamba jubba kapiri tabli karta thiya. He couldn't come to terms with it. He couldn't come to terms now. What are they doing here? But they stuck. Whatever it is, hell or high water, whatever it is, but we have to do it. However, I can remember there was a family, someone was getting engaged, right? And now how that kunchas and all these things happens now. At the midst of that kunchas, say, Ibrahim, chalo, chalo. Adi, Absalom. You're going to smash that thing down. The whole kuncha, the whole, you know, that invite, like, you know, said 20 people must come and have an engagement, all that. You want to smash that thing down. Gave a bayan, smashed it down. Right. So he had that guts, and he wanted to do something, nothing will stop him. He'll do it. You see the forerunners. This is the forerunners. They had the spirit, they had the heart. They could do it. But just that they had a lot of style also. Right. Now, this is now 60, 62, right? I'm talking about now 84, 85, right? Madrasa came about 86. So I'm just showing you the personality, right? So, now it's 85, and the discussion amongst the ulama is, SATV is giving you a slot at prime time to broadcast your Islam. Right? But I know that the discussion was going on, and ulama that before it were very strong. Say, in 1 hour, you can come across 60 million people, you know, throughout the globe, you can get people. So much. But it was a talk. It was already passed. It was already passed. 85. And that was hurting me. I'm just about 5 years in the country now. 4 or 5 years. So I don't have that recognition, no personality, not even now, right? But then, not now. Now, I think it's troubling me. This thing, somehow we have to stop the thing. So, I read the time this thing wasn't here. I read my Juma Namaz. Then I came around this way. As I came this way, you know this Qaji's out here. That time, that Jibai was staying there. Kui Jibai was staying there. So, Jibai is telling me, hey, I got fish biryani here, come in. So that thing didn't tempt me. Said, no, my party is also here. So now, then I thought to myself, I need to do some business here. If you're going somewhere, you must sell your product. Our parents are businessmen, right? So you must sell. See, this Banyas, right? Shrewd businessmen, right? They got a wedding invitation, for example, in Ladysmith, right? So that Banya is already calculating that it must be worth my trip, you know? There, I'm there, I'm doing some business, got some gold or something, make some business, came back. So at least made about 300-400, that time now, 300-400 was about 10,000 rand, so money for the time. So I'm thinking to myself, I must do some business. So I came past here, and the jiva is saying, come down, you know. So I said, I'm going to spill the beans and tell Bhaipati this thing here. But he had the style, and he's strong-headed. He's strong-headed, he had the style also. I said, you know what's happening? This was happening. He heard it for the first time. Now this was carrying on, and he heard it for the first time. It's already passed, and they're going to launch just now. So, I think 1-2 days time, he took a flight to Johannesburg, even and smashed the whole thing that side, spoke to all the ulama. I said, he has so much of influence. Iraqi, this ulama, that ulama, spoke to everybody, whoever he could speak, and he got the whole thing down. But he had the style, he had the clout, he had that approach, he could do it. Right? Then it resurfaced now, 2010 resurfaced, right? But from that time to now, it was just smashed down. But you see, these are the forerunners, and that heart they have, the determination they have, they want to do something, you can't stop them. Yuriduna liyutfi'u nur Allah bi afwahihim. You want to put off Allah Ta'ala's light. Allah Ta'ala's light, you want to put it off. So Allah Ta'ala says, this first group and the second group are not the same. This first group, the second group, they are not the same. They look like same, normal. You know, eating, drinking, everything normal. But you know what they went through. You know what they went through, right? Now I know you're going gush now. For us, we are children now, and for us it's like an excitement. Just go there, children, you're going. Right? And sometimes you're going for gush. So one auntie will say, "Hey, I got some polonia, you know." We have children. What other children will say? All right, I'm coming in. So that was all the delicacy at the time. Right now, we're going for gush, right? And they're throwing you out from the house. Get out from here. We don't want to see you. Right. Now all that they had to endure. That first jamaat, that jamaat that came in first, they had to endure that. Whatever it is, you know, hell or high water, whatever it is, just endure the thing. So all that uphill, even some ulama for, some ulama against, and what was going on, but they just holding on. They just holding on. Right. See the difficulty they had to go through. So the Sahaba Kiram also, that first level they had to go through a lot of trouble. You know, you had situations in that first level. A person is caught for Islam, right? So his body is fastened from opposite ends. Fastened and tied to animals. And the animals are made to run on opposite direction. Can you imagine now how gruesome it could be? And what's your crime is Rabbi Allah. Just because you're saying La ilaha illallah, so you have to go through this. Just because of this. No other crime, no sin you got. The only crime is that you're saying La ilaha illallah. And this is the reason for the torture, pain, difficulty, etc. Can you imagine that? Right? Now then the second group came, when they saw now, this thing is working, it's workable now. But then, I remember, when this first group started, they planned it out, that we will make it a point to meet ulama, and the influential people, make it a point and introduce the whole work to them. In Johannesburg was Mohammad Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib, Rahmatullahi Ma'am Ustad. Here was Mohammad Sadi Sahib, Mohammad Umarji Sahib, right? They gave 100% cooperation. Mohammad Umarji Sahib joined them to the first Jamaat that went to Mauritius. Mohammad Umarji Sahib joined them. All supported it. Mohammad Umarji Sahib, Mohammad Ansari Sahib. Ansari Sahib was a Shah Sahib Rahmatullah's student. His Arabic was too beautiful. So they gave full support. Then they went and joined the Tashkil Mullah Qasim Sahib. So he gives the whole introduction what it is. Mullah Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah said, He got so affected that he joined them for about, I don't know, 4 months or whatever, but he joined. Mawlana Musa Samrodi was his sati in Dabir. So Mawlana Musa Samrodi, to give the story, you know, from Mawlana Qasim Sahib, that he's insisting that I must go to Mewat. Where this work started, I must go and see how it started. Mawlana Qasim Sahib is saying, Mawlana Musa. So Mawlana Musa Sahib had that position in Nizamuddin, so he sent the Jamaat to Mewat. So he spent the time, whether it was 3 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever. So Mawlana Musa Sahib is asking Mawlana Qasim Sahib, Mewat kaisa raha? How was it in Mewat? So Alhamdulillah, what? Waha to Baitul Khala ke liye line mein khara hone ki zarurat nahi hai. You go toilet, you don't have to queue up. You don't have to queue up for the toilet. That means you go in the open. Musa Sahib used to give this Kalguzari of Mawlana Qasim Sahib Ramzali. But he wanted to go and see how it worked, how it started off. Mawlana Qasim Sahib, he gave, the other part he gave, Mawlana Qasim Sahib gave. Now they finished that 4 months and they have to return. Obviously now as they're returning, so they buy some gifts, wife, daughter, children, son. So they want rehber. The rehber is going to guide them around, buy from here, this is cheaper here, price is right here. So the guy is going to take them around. So now, as they're negotiating the prices, they're talking in Zulu, right? So that the shop can't understand what you're talking about. So you must negotiate, but talk in a language that he can't understand so we can negotiate. So they're talking, so one would say, or Lungila, Lungila, why Lungila? Now the shopkeeper is saying, not shopkeeper, the rehber. The rehber that's taking them around, he's saying, you know, everywhere I take you all, I'm saying Lungila, Lungila. But you didn't buy one Lungi from. You see these pioneers, I'll just show you what work they did. Really, it was the different people. Well, those people also that worked, they're very committed, very sincere. I think that I may have joined the Jamaat 78. Joined me, I went for about 10 days, 18 days. I just came from India. I'm thinking what to do now, you know. I finished my Taraweeh, so I must spend the time until Eid. So let me go in Jamaat. But I can remember those people that time, at about 2 o'clock they buzzing away. Quran Sharif, Zikr, Namaz, someone is crying. You know. And like further, like they would do like they just got up now. They won't make it known that they've been engaged in Tahajjud for so long. 2 o'clock right till Fajr, it's buzzing. One way, there was an India Jamaat, it was here, when we joined them. But you see that crying at night, that Quran Sharif, the zikr at night, that has that effect on the day, on the people on the day. You came with that power, and when you come with that power and you're talking, then your talk has a different effect. But now, you aren't preparing yourself with zikr, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran Sharif, namaz. You don't have all these things here, and you're just giving a talk, then it doesn't have the power. There's nothing supporting it. This is good as support. See, the support is coming. I saw this in 78 when I joined the Jamaat. I saw that. What support they coming in? What strength? What might they coming into? So these are the first people, and then the second is the Ansar, those that supported, cooperated, everything. Right? They give everything. Right? Then the Quran Sharif is talking of a third group as well. I showed you the first, the pioneer who initiated, the second group who cooperated. You know? Right. Right. how you got the third group. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. So in the khutbah he did this. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. So the first group, they did their work. Second group, they did their work. Now it's the third group. So the third group, they saw everything. Everything is prepared now. The field is prepared. Farm is ready. Everything is right. So the hard work was done by the first and the second group. They did the most difficult work. When I said that the first group, there was no promise, no guarantee. You're going to do a work, like you're putting your money into this investment, there's no guarantee. What's going to turn out like, you don't know, when you're putting your money into it. So therefore, Rabak says, liars to me, both aren't the same. See, they may be less in some regards, but Allah Pak makes it clear that they aren't the same. They worked at a time there was no guarantees, no promises, nothing. And they gave themselves to Islam. See. Now the second group, they saw some fruit. Right? Then they were invested. So, alright, it was a great thing what they did. But I ask you, can they be compared to the first? So, Allah is most appreciative. Most appreciative, right? They did, and they did very much. Right? And the second group also did much. But you aren't like the first group. There's no guarantee, nothing. But when Allah Pak talks to us, be careful. وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. He's giving us a note of warning, Ansar and Sahab and Muhajir, right? Right? Or those people that came after. Min ba'd al-fath, after the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, they came afterwards, right? But Allah Pak is sounding a warning to us. Right? That although these people that came in the first, the forerunners, right? Sabiqun al-awwalun, right? Although they are the forerunners, and those that came afterwards, right? You don't have the right to compromise in their respect. In showing respect, you can't compromise. Why? Kullu wa'ad Allahul Husna. Allah Ta'ala has promised Jannah to all. For this group and for this group. They have been promised. So in your respect, you will see to it that you respect the first group, you will respect the second group. You will not say, hey, who are you? They did the actual work. You are nothing. You respect the first group, you will respect the second group. But you will understand that the first group, they are worthy of greater respect. Right? At times, you're getting a situation now. Umar radiallahu anhu is busy, right, in his work. Baitul Mal, but he's doing the work, right? And you're getting the hierarchy of the Quraysh. They're coming and they're waiting in the line. In the meanwhile, people like Ammar ibn Yasir or Bilal radiallahu anhu, so he takes them in first. Then he takes people like Sahal ibn Amr and that Abu Sufyan, then he takes them on. Now they're wondering, hey man, you know, these people were slaves there, and they came after, and they being ushered first, and we ushered later on. So Sahal ibn Amr says, you know, we can't reach them. Yes, if you want to reach them, we'll have to make that sacrifices. We were jeering them, we were mocking them, we were suppressing them, we did everything. And they held on. They stood by the side of the Prophet ﷺ today until Islam prospered. Now, after the prosperity, then we came in. So we can't be equal to them. We can't be, and we're asking, we're demanding, we must be equal to them. It's wrong of us. He understood, he saw the whole picture. So now, this third group, now what are they supposed to be doing? See, I showed you the first group, the second group. Now the third group, what are they supposed to be doing? So the third group, what they will do is, if they want to be joined, you know, with the forerunners, with the Ansar, they want to join, they want to be joined, then what are they supposed to be doing? They are supposed to be doing two things. رَبَّنَا اخْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. The first thing is, they will respect the first group, make dua for them, respect them, appreciate them. You will only make dua for a person when you appreciate him, you hold him in esteem, then will you make dua for him. You don't hold the person in esteem, will you make dua for the person? You hold him in respect, you love him, so you'll make dua for him. You hear like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah, he says, You know, when I saw this whole picture, when I saw this whole picture, then there wasn't an amal that I didn't make dua for my ustads, you know, from whom I got blessed, whom I came on the cause, I got blessed by them. So before I make duas for anybody else, my parents include anybody, I make for them. Because they brought us into spirituality. They brought us into deen. They showed us the true flavor of deen. Then after that I make dua for my parents. See, we don't appreciate this. One Jamaat came here from Brazil or Argentina. So there was an Arab amongst them. So that Arab was wearing like an Indian kurta, you know. So I asked him, but you Arab, why? So now look at the level of appreciation. So whatever I got from this people here. Now that group was so wealthy, they had their private jets and all that. Like, you know, the Jamaat are all going at the, like by Abdul Wahab and all that. They will fly there, their private jets. But when he dressed up like this. He said, whatever I got from these people here. We were nowhere in the doldrums here. And these people picked us up and showed us what was deen. So when we forget them. See the level of appreciation. That's what Allah Pak likes. So this group here that came at the end, then they got two work to do. One is to respect. Appreciate, respect. In the token of respect and appreciation, you make dua for them. Sadaqah, whatever. On their behalf, you do something. Some way to show a token of appreciation to what you earn from them. See? You earn from others also, but what you earn from others, most was material. Maybe a little of deen, but most was material, right? And from these people you earn, most was deen. Most you earned was deen, right? They put the thing, the whole seed, they put, brought the tree up. And others, they broke the fruit and gave it to you. They put the tree up. They prepared the field. They put the tree up. And the people that came afterwards, they just broke the fruit and fed you. Right? So now, you have to do two things. Right? One is, respect them. And you have to show, in some way, مَنْ صَنَعَ بِكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوا فَإِنْ لَمْ تُكَافِئُوا فَاسْنُوْ عَلَيْهِ خَيْرًا فَاسْنُوْ عَلَيْهِ خَيْرًا. He did something good. So repay him. See what the hadith is saying. مَنْ صَنَعَ بِكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوا. What he's given you, right? You understood what he's given you. So repay him. So Imam, this Imam, they understood it. He says, before we make dua for our parents, we make dua for this Imam, Imam Hammad and all that. We used to say, before I make dua for my parents, Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. They understood now what they got. And they got that level of understanding. If you look at them, in the individual self, they are faqis and muhaddiseen. So great they are. But after having all the understanding of deen, this is the sequence of their dua. So the level of appreciation. So one is that, right? وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That was one of the khutbah. Right? Some other, you know. And the second effort was not to entertain any type of malice. Any filth, any malice. Especially for this class. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For Muslims in general, but obviously for this class, even more in particular, right? In general, you don't have any malice. Now, if you are appreciating the forerunners, the people that brought everything to you, and your heart is free of malice, you are running away. Then you are joining up with them. You're running away, inshallah, at least at some point you will join up with them. Allah.